Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe's doing all the talking.
Joe Maddon.
It's a great time to just, like, talk about stuff.
World Series winning manager.
I don't understand the negative mindset whatsoever. I don't understand pessimism. I don't know enough to be pessimistic, quite frankly.
Connoisseur of fine art.
The David's all about pitching. The Salvador Dali's all about catching. The Mona Lisa, she's about putting the art back into the game and about defense because Renaissance chicks dig the leather.
Joe Maddon with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Joe Maddon regularly joins the Bernstein and McKnight show this day at this time, and here he is now. He is on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad with two D's, and interesting times for your ball club for a lot of reasons right now, not the least of which is a five-game lead in the loss column now is not, and this is a race. What is the feeling from your perspective?
It's always been. For me, I mean, listen, Milwaukee's a good ball club. St. Louis is a good ball club. They're playing a lot better. From our perspective, I thought it would come to this point be just because of the depth of the Brewers. And like I said, the Cardinals are playing so well. We, on the other hand, we just got to get our offense together. We got to start clicking up and down the lineup. Overall, the Pens done a pretty good job. We've struggled a bit on this recent road trip. But that's it. I mean, it's three good teams. I think it's for people to underestimate these other clubs all year. I have not. And so this does not surprise me that they've gotten back into the race.
Joe, you picked a spot last night for Carl Edwards to come in against a batter he probably had an advantage against, but in a tough spot, to be sure. I mean, it's a high leverage spot, no doubt about it. You've mentioned that you want to get him right and still use him. I'm just wondering if those spots are, you know, because of the way he's been working, going to be lessened some or diminished some, or you still going to use him the same way maybe you used him last night?
In Milwaukee, he came in, struggled a bit, two runners are on, then he struck out Yelich and Aguilar. That's not bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, people tend to forget that kind of stuff. And what he did eventually to Granderson last night was pretty good. Which you have to understand in that situation yesterday, yeah. And if you're developmentally savvy, what you're trying to do is get Carl back on track. So I don't want to pitch him a whole inning. I want him to get one out and get out. And then he walks up and he feels pretty good about it. So he has a tremendous advantage over Arcia, or honestly, almost better that hits in the National League. He's just off a bit with his command right now. So he throws a wild pitch. And of course, he didn't want to do that. We didn't want to see him do that. But we're not going anywhere for the rest of this month or the next month if Carl's not well. So you have to understand, you got to get him back on his feet. You got to keep putting him out there. Furthermore, just strategically speaking, there was a chance that spot was going to come up and hit that next inning. So again, you're looking for somebody you want just to jab with and turn it over. It was just like we did to Chavez, Cishek, and possibly Strope if we had the lead. So there's a lot going on right there. But understand, when you've got a picture of the abilities of Carl Edwards and how important he is to our success, you do keep it. It's like a guard in basketball that you're shooting guard. He's got to keep shooting. The quarterback's got to keep throwing. You got to keep putting him out there.
Are you optimistic that Brandon Morrow is going to be back?
He felt good. He felt good yesterday. So it seems like he may be. It's one of those things you got to monitor, like I said earlier when I talked about it, that there was barely enough time to get him ready. But if he continues to progress at this point with no setbacks, there's a pretty good shot that he will be back.
I'm wondering if you know anything or when you want to find something out about this game on Thursday and what the options might be. I think we were reading earlier today that the mayor of D.C. has issued a state of emergency. I know you guys will keep up to date with that as best you can, but do you know anything now? Has the situation changed, and are you in touch with everybody there at the organization already today, or is that something you'll do a little later?
No, I haven't heard a thing yet, and from our perspective, we have to mentally be prepared to just think that we're going. When you start getting these ambivalent moments, that's really put you in a negative situation that if you do have to go and you play, you're supposed to, then all of a sudden you're in a bad mindset. We can't afford that. So for me, I'm expecting to pack my bag and leave tomorrow night. I don't want the rest of the group to until somebody tells us differently.
What was the Washington experience like for you with those long days? And what does it mean to a ball club to go through that sort of stop-start and that kind of preparation and waiting and everything else? That it can be tiring in ways that maybe people don't appreciate who aren't around baseball, especially this time of year. But what happens to a team and how do you have to manage those situations?
Well, you know, is exacerbated by the entire trip. I mean, that was Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and then back to Washington. And then when you're constantly in rain delay, it's difficult. Not only rain delay, but those are significantly long rain delays. And it's hard. I mean, just imagine putting yourself in that position. They get ready to play the game, and then all of a sudden, no, we're going to be on delay. And the one night, Friday night, where John was pitching, John goes out for the first inning. We're told that it may rain a little bit, but we have a nice little quote-unquote window that's going to open up. We should be fine. And then all of a sudden, we're not fine until 11 o'clock at night. And then all of a sudden, the weather is good, and then they canceled the game. So there was all of that to contend with. And then you come back, and you have the doubleheader. And you know your pitching's in a state of flux there because you're missing one of your best starters from the previous night. So we go bullpen, which we weren't really doing badly with until Randy had a tough night. Rosario kind of made the game look bad. And then you go into the second game and we have a lead again, and then they hit a home run. So it's, again, it looks horrible to really have to endure that in a baseball sense. You know, mentally, it's the mental battle of sitting around as much as anything. But physically, too, our guys have not had days off in a while. So I'm actually really proud of what we've done to this point. I think we're 5-6 the last 11 games. There's other games we had a chance to win that did not. But the esprit de corps has been great. And I really love the way our guys are going about their business. It's just been a tough run.
Talking with Cubs manager Joe Maddon here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, as we always do, Tuesdays at noon. Joe's talking with Dan as we got in and we're getting ready to do the show. We were just trying to think of any positives that came out of that Washington thing and the back and forth with the rain. And all I could come up with was that no one got hit by a fastball and that some guys out of the bullpen didn't have to use bullets. I was just trying to think of any other positives that you guys pulled out of, you know, other than just winning a ballgame here or there. That was about it. That's all I could think of.
Well, we won the first game and, yeah, you know, did a lot of really good things. And then, like I said, the second night, that was the one that made it really difficult. Like I said, when John starts and then they pull the plug on John and then you have to go into plan B. And I really wanted to play that game that night. We told them all along we want to play the game that night. And the overall opinion was to wait, and we did. And because I prefer having gone with the bullpen that night, like you saw the next day, and then come out the next night and just have to mentally play one game. Also, it would have been Cole's night. So there's all this different, you know, the mental gymnastics that occur under these circumstances. Yeah. They're hard to deal with, believe me, especially at this time of the year and when you are faced with the doubleheader the next day, and then, of course, the weather on Sunday. So listen, that's not an excuse. I'm just telling you, this is exactly what's been going on, and I'm really pleased with how our guys have handled everything.
Lester's back okay?
Yeah, it was a spasm. It wasn't, that's what I was told afterwards. It wasn't anything significant other than back spasm. Could have just been from the schedules to start the other day. And then it's kind of like off of his schedule. He said it didn't bother him to throw. If you looked at the gun after he threw a pitch, the numbers were normal. Was after he threw the pitch and he's walking back up the mound that he felt it. So we went out one time. He was adamant he was fine, and then after the time he had to back up third base, and that's let's get him out.
We were looking at some numbers that analyst Joe Sheehan posted earlier today in a piece that he used to call tonight's game one of the most important of the baseball season, that the Cubs are just not hitting with runners in scoring position. Chris Bryant is slugging .363 with no homers with runners in scoring position this year. Wilson Contreras is slugging .333. And those two alone make up 15% of the Cubs' plate appearances with runners in scoring position. What's going on?
No, listen, we're very aware of that. I mean, you're applying the percentages, which I was not aware of, but you could just tell from the IL test it hasn't been good. From KB's perspective, of course, the shoulder's been injured, and to what extent it's really transferring into the game. It's really hard to understand. I mean, watch him in batting practice. He looks pretty good. And KB doesn't complain. KB just keeps playing. So more than anything, it's just a cyclical kind of component of a year and a young Major League Baseball player, I think. Same with Wilson. I mean, Wilson last year, my God, the way he finished, had he not gotten hurt, I thought he was going to hit 25 or 30 home runs last year. And right now, it's been primarily ball on the ground, and the ball's not been on the line or the air. I don't have any significant solid answers for you. I watch it. We talk. He works. They're working with Chile and on a daily basis, him and Ain. So it's hard to understand. You know, the groups have gone through it. Other teams have gone through it. I don't have a really great explanation other than we got to keep working at it. It shows up now because, you know, we also need to get Ian right. We need to get Albert right. Like I said, the bottom part of the batting order, we need to get some significant runs out of that group right now. It's primarily 1-5 that's doing most of our damage.
Notice with Kyle Schwarber, too, there was some talk after the game last night that he's had a little bit of a back issue that's hampered him the last couple of days. Is that just you'll check in with him next couple of days as we go? And what's his absence or lack of being 100% done for your lineup the last couple?
Well, I mean, like yesterday, I used him just to get Hader in the game, even though that's never desirable. If he comes in game sooner, then he has to throw more pitches, and then hopefully that keeps him out of the next two games. I mean, you have to think in those terms also. By forcing, or not forcing, they were going to do it anyway. But I want Hader to throw, you know, 50 pitches last night, but he didn't. But I mean, that's what you're thinking about. So I knew Schwarbs was unavailable primarily yesterday. He would have hit had they left the righty in there. He would have hit, but then probably would have had a run from, et cetera. But under the circumstances, it was good to use him that way. I find out today when I go in what he's able to do or not do. You know, when Schwarbs says he's hurt a little bit, you got to really perk up because this guy's as tough as it gets. I mean, really, he's a unique individual. So we'll find out more when we get in today.
Quintana going again against the Brewers in a big one, and he's had their number for the most part. They got him once, but his, you know, overall success has been pretty remarkable against that division rival. Are we at a point in the season, and I don't know how much you want to answer this either because it does, might give some away, but are we at a point in the season where a starter who's going up against a team he's seen that many times starts to put a wrinkle or two in, starts to really have the, you know, the long book on some of these hitters, and you might change just a little bit? Or is it so deep that you got to be who you are?
I am so about being who you are, especially Q. You saw the last game when he pitched up in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. He had his best fastball of the year and actually got hurt when he tried to mix in his curveball and his changeup. If he has that same kind of fastball tonight, I'm good with him just plowing away with the fastball. Every night's a different. And then again, if the fastball's not there, maybe he needs to go to the other stuff. Again, I think we overthink sometimes. If he's executing his pitch like he did the other day, I'm good. Just throw that fastball where you want to. 90, he was up to 93, 94 the other day off, and you could see the ball at the plate, and you could see the lateness of the swing. So we'll find out quickly. He feels pretty good about himself. Just speaking to him, I could tell he's feeling he's in a pretty good spot. So I'm always about, with all the scouting reports, with all this stuff, I'm still a pitcher pitching to his strength first. And then you look for nuggets among the hitters to try to attack, especially when it gets hot in a moment when you really want to get, when you need to do something specifically. But otherwise, make the hitter adjust to you.
How significant is tonight's outcome, and how does that affect the way you approach the risk calculus of various managerial decisions?
Well, no, I mean, we still got games left. I think it's today we got 19 as of today. I'm going to hopefully manage the same kind of game we've been managing. There's only so many options that you have. We got the new added weapon of Terrence Gore. I mean, people have not even spoken about how he's been. He did it again last night. So you still got that. We haven't had that before. Schwarber being out, Hayward being out, limits your left-handed bats. Got to really try to pick and choose to say a right-handed pinch hitter, or do you stay some with the lefty a little bit long? You just have to figure that out left on left, whatever. So there's different things to consider just based on who's available. I think the bullpen should be full tonight, even though like when you use Wilson and Cishek and Chavez and you don't win, that always bums me out because those are the guys you want to use in a win situation. But they did pitch on a limited basis last night. And again, strategically speaking, the interconnectedness of the games, and that's why Carl was important last night. That's for those that are really listening and want to understand how do you do this, that's part of it also. So I think the bullpen should be relatively good tonight. For me, no, it's the same game. Q's going to pitch. If he's in trouble, you got certain guys you go to early, and if he gets through the game, you try to land your guys in the latter part.
I know you mentioned that you have to assume that the Thursday makeup game in Washington is on until they tell you it isn't, and that's how you got to prepare mentally. But come on, I mean, I'm looking. I got the weather map open here, and I don't claim to be a meteorologist, but I know bad when I see it. And when the D.C. mayor is already literally declaring a state of emergency, and millions of people are being told to evacuate, how can they do this? How can they actually, in good conscience, how can reasonable people say, get on a plane and fly into this?
We're going to find out. Listen, I mean, let's go back to one of the previous questions about the rain delay. See, when you're sitting in the locker room and guys start turning it off because you think you're not going to play, and then all of a sudden you do play, that's a dangerous part. Even when you go to the ballpark and you see the weather's going to be bad, and you walk in the door and it's like you're ambivalent. We're going to play. We're not going to play. You really don't turn it on. That's all part of the psyche. And again, this is game number almost about 140, whatever. You've done it all year long, so it's a real mental challenge. That's the beauty of our game, is the mental component. That's where you have to really be strong. I know we're physically tired, but once the mind goes on you, man, that's when you really shut down, and that's when success goes away. So I want us to stay engaged mentally. You're right. I mean, listen, I'm not going to argue with what you're seeing, and everything you just said is absolutely right on. However, I want always to stay engaged mentally. Always believe that we are going to do something until somebody tells us we're not.
Theoretically speaking, would you rather have the makeup game later, you know, after the season, or like a neutral site scenario?
Post-season, so we need a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, those rainouts aren't days off. That's another misconception. When you go to the ballpark and your normal routine and you prepare like you normally do, and then you sit around all day and eventually the game's called off, you still want these. It's like having played that day. There's no difference. So we need one day where you go to bed at night, you know there's nothing going on tomorrow. So you wake up at a different time. You go about your business differently. You could actually go to a dry cleaner if you had to. And then you live a life for one day. It matters. It absolutely matters. You really have not had a day off in a long time. And it's going to be 30-some if, in fact, we have to play on Thursday.
So, Joe, what did you get up to while you were in Washington and waiting around all that time? Are you binge-watching anything, or are you just into charts and looking at your next matchups and staying there?
Nope, I'm not doing that. My wife just turned this on. Jay turned me on to Netflix. What is it, The Good Place?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, a great concept. So she started me with that. And the other night, I went back to season one of The Office, had to do it.
Yeah, that's old school.
I mean, you know, when you go to the basketball game, that never gets old. And the diversity day with Mr. Brown being the lead guy, all that stuff cracks me up, and I never get enough of that. So right now it's The Good Place, and hopefully we'd end up in a good place.
Joe, did you know that I just found this out a little while ago. I'm a huge Office fan. Did you know that Roy actually hit Jim in the basketball scene?
I did not.
He actually popped him, and the guy, John Krasinski, actually reacted that way, and they put that in the show.
Well, Jim was abusing him, absolutely.
Oh, he's giving him out.
You know, that move where he hooks him with his arm, goes in for the left. Beautiful move behind the back, between the legs. Guy looks like he played a little bit, so I think Roy probably actually did get frustrated to the point where he did pop. And as you said that, I can see the reaction. It did look real.
Yeah, I think I've gone back and watched. If you look, he finds some blood when he puts his finger up toward his lip, and it's real. I guess blood. That's real.
It's just good stuff. Stanley dribbles. Oh my God.
Oh God, it's great.
It's just beautiful.
Good luck tonight, Joe. Thank you.
All right, boys, you take care.
That is Joe Maddon, the skipper of the Chicago Cubs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.